karmanyeva dhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bhur mate sangostva karmani. Translation: you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. Some translation is going on. We need translation for Tamil, I think. And Bengali. They can all understand. Apnara ki ingrezi bujhte paren? Shokale. All right. Maybe at the end I'll speak a few. I already spoke a few words. So, purport. There are three considerations here: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. Do you all know what capricious work means? Capricious is a synonym for whimsical. Just like at the end of the 16th chapter, Krishna says, Yashastra vidim utsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. The people who act whimsically, same thing. It means just acting for what I want to do. I want to do it, I'll do it. Without consideration, without following Shastra, without thinking whether it's right or wrong, beneficial or unbeneficial. I want to do it, I will do it. Capricious work. But from this, Krishna says, nasa siddhim. One does not attain siddhi, one does not attain sukha, and one does not attain param gati. None of these things. So, three considerations here: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. So, we can trace that back to the Sanskrit. Karma, vikarma, akarma. Prescribed duties are activities enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. Capricious work means actions without the sanction of authority. And inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties. The Lord advised that Arjuna not be inactive, but that he perform his prescribed duty without being attached to the result. One who is attached to the result of his work is also the cause of the action. Thus he is the enjoyer or sufferer of the result of such actions. As far as prescribed duties are concerned, they can be fitted into three subdivisions, namely routine work, emergency work, and desired activities. So that, again, tracing back to the Sanskrit, means nitya karma, apad dharma, apad karma, and kamya kara. That means nitya karma means general activities that you do daily, regularly, according to Shastra. Apadharma means activities performed in some emergency situation where you can't follow all the rules. And desired activities means kamya karma. You perform some work because you want some special result. I mean, just like daily, you may do daily puja at home, but then sometimes you may do some special puja because you have some special desire. Oh Lord, please make my health better. Something like that. Please arrange for me one visa to America. Something like that. So you do some special puja. Kamya karma. There's also naimittik karma, activities that are not performed daily, but on special or from time to time, according to certain, again, not personal desire, but not daily, but irregularly, just like on Ekadashi. We act differently. We fast. We may perform some special pujas on Ekadashi. Or on Janmashtami, we have to fast all day and perform service. We have to do special pujas for Krishna. Then there are Chaturmasya observances, Kartik observances, Shravan Mas observances, like this. Now at the present time in Tamil Nadu, the Margali month, there are some special observances going on. Margali Mas. So this is called Naimitic Karma. So this whole discussion is about karma. In one sense, Bhagavad Gita is discussion about karma. Arjuna, whether he should act to fight or give up the fight. Karma, akarma. Of course, Krishna took Arjuna to the broader platform of bhakti. But Arjuna started off simply thinking, actually Arjuna was thinking about dharma, which is intimately linked with karma. But dharma, if we perform simply the karmas that we're supposed to do, but without jnana, then it's simply, there's no actual elevation of consciousness. Elevation of consciousness begins on the platform of jnana, and the fulfillment of that is bhakti. So all these points are to be understood. So work with results becomes the cause of bondage. That is sakam karma. Working to fulfill some material desire. Sakam karma leads to karma bandhana. All these points are being described. Therefore, such work is not auspicious. People think, I will do some shubha karma. But if we do shubha karma, you all know these words in Tamil also, shubha karma. If we do shubha karma for the sake of fulfilling some material desire, then actually it's not shubha. We're thinking if I get some good result for sense gratification, it's shubha. But actually that is ashubha. We think shubha means dhanam, janam, sundari, all these things. So we think that's shubha, but the ultimate result of that is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, which is all dukkha. So one should have knowledge. Without knowledge, one can follow all your karmas and dharmas, but the result is simply suffering. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So all these points are to be understood. Everyone has his propriety right in regard to prescribed duties. It's easier to say all this. It's all translated from Sanskrit. It's easier to understand. Sabka adhikar hai swakaram karne ke liye. It's easier to say. Prescribed duties means swakarma. And propriety right means adhikara. So this verse says, karmane vadhikaraste. You have the adhikara for karma. You have the right to do that. Kshatriya, Arjuna was a kshatriya. A kshatriya has the right to fight. He has the adhikara to fight. But should act without attachment to the result. This is, now we're talking about nishkam, karma. Nishkam karma. Such disinterested obligatory duties doubtless lead one to the path of liberation. So, again, it's easier to understand if you say it in an Indian language, derived from Sanskritam, that nishkam karm karne se mukti pat par jana hai. Nishkam karm karne se mukti nahi milti hai, lekin hum mukti pat ke aur jaate hai. Arjuna was therefore advised by the Lord to fight as a matter of duty without attachment to the result. His non-participation in the battle is another side of attachment. Such attachment never leads one to the path of salvation. Any attachment, positive or negative, is cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful. Therefore, fighting as a matter of duty was the only path, auspicious path of salvation for Arjuna. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bhur ma te sangostva karmani agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtham manamapi shakti putra matra swarupam Rupam tasya gajamurpurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tamnatosmi Vandeham shriguru shiyataf parakamalam Shri gurun vaishtavams cha shri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakham Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur often analyzed, and Srila Prabhupada, his foremost outstanding disciple, also did, that this is the world of bhoga and tyaga. Mostly everyone in this world is interested in bhoga, which means to enjoy this world. Ishvaro ham aham bhogi. The demoniac person thinks, I am the Lord of this world, I am the enjoyer of this world. But then what happens is, after some time we get fed up. I'm working, I'm enjoying, but no fun la, not happy la. So then we think, I'll give it all up. I'll become a tyagi. I'll become renounced. But this tyaga, this renunciation, is the flip side of the coin of bhoga. The idea that I will enjoy, when one becomes frustrated, then he thinks, I will give it up. Actually, that means he didn't really give up the propensity to enjoy. He'd like to enjoy. If one becomes a tyagi, that means actually he wants to be a bhogi, but just he's frustrated, that's all. This is all maya. To be a tyagi is also maya. People think if you're a bhogi, vishayi, you're interested in sense enjoyment. Oh, that's materialistic. And to be a tyagi that is not materialistic. That is saintly. But actually it's not. It's just frustration, that's all. It's the same propensity. If one thinks, I shall renounce everything, that shows that he's a rascal. The same as the materialistic people who think, I will enjoy everything. Because if you say, I will renounce everything, that means you think, Ishvaroham, everything, it's all mine. Because you cannot, if you think, I will renounce, that means you think, I am the owner. But we are not the owner of anything. We are all simply servants of Krishna. We don't own anything. You may be a billionaire. Say, I have billions and billions of dollars. And someone else may be a dollarer. He has $1 in his pocket. He's thinking, it's my dollar. This is mine. It's all mine. This $1. That may be $1, but it's my dollar. So that is Maya. And if you think, now I will give it all up, then you're also a rascal. One who thinks it belongs to me is a rascal, because it all belongs to Krishna. And if you think, now I will give it up, you're also a rascal, because you think, I am giving it up, but you don't own it anyway. It's the same disease expressed in a different way, that's all. So Arjuna was a conditioned soul. Actually, he wasn't, but he was playing the part. That he was thinking, shall I fight or shall I not fight? But it's the same mentality. He was thinking, if we fight, and then all our relatives get friend, Kimno Rajena Govinda, what are we going to do with the kingdom? Govinda, you're supposed to be the giver of pleasure to the senses. You should give pleasure to my senses. Otherwise, what's the use of you being called Govinda? Kimsu kaya jivite nava, what pleasure is there in living if all the people that we would like to enjoy the kingdom with, if they're all killed? So he was saying in terms of, if we fight, there won't be any pleasure. So better give it up. It's all in terms of his own thinking, I am the center of everything. So this verse, karmanyevadikaraste. You can work, but the result is not for you. You have to work. Everyone has to do something. If you don't work, as Srila Prabhupada says here, inaction is sinful. If you think, now I'm not going to do anything, that's sinful. You have to do something. I'm not going to do anything. No one will appreciate. Even materialistic people, you should do something. You're eating, you should do something. You should contribute something to society. So, not to act is sinful. But to act thinking, I am the enjoyer, even if you are following the dharmas and karmas according to Shastra, still the mentality is wrong. If one doesn't come to the proper position of understanding that bhog, I'm not the bhogi. I cannot be a tyagi because nothing belongs to me. We have to be sevi, or sevaka. We are meant for serving Krishna. So bhogi, tyagi, and sevi, Krishna sevi, or sevak. This is the proper position. Krishna has to bring Arjuna to that. At the moment, Arjuna is deeply in Maya. He can only think, fight, not fight, fight, not fight, fight, not fight. And Krishna is trying to explain to him, You're meant to serve me. You're thinking, shall I fight, shall I not fight? What about me? I'm Krishna. You're supposed to serve me. You can only be happy by serving me. Everything is in relation to me, Krishna. You're thinking just about yourself. What about Krishna? Why did you forget Krishna? You're so concerned about Duryodhana and all these people. He's just a rascal. You're concerned about Bhishma. He's not a rascal. Bhishma is a great personality, no doubt. But he is in relation to me. Everything is in relation to Krishna. You are thinking, I'm also great. Shall I fight? Shall I not fight? I'm the great Arjuna. Yudhishthira is depending on me. But you also, Paurushang Nrishu, your ability comes from me only. You're thinking, I'm so important. This Krishna is just my chariot driver. But everything is depending on Krishna. Arjuna is thinking, I'm the most important. If I don't fight, what will happen? He knows he's important. But he hasn't thought that his importance comes from Krishna. And we see that after Krishna left this world, then Arjuna, he went to Dwarka to bring the queens to Hastinapur. And there were some robbers, some tribal robbers. And Arjuna, previously, just by looking at such people practically, he could just kill them all. But they overpowered him. And he realized that now Krishna has gone, all my power has gone. He was completely dependent on Krishna. There's one narration I heard, and I heard this from some Madhva Sampradaya people, so we can understand that they don't tell something speculative. They'll tell it must be according to Shastra and according to the teachings of their acharyas. They don't just make up some stories here, there, and everywhere, as some other people do. But they're very strict that we have to speak according to Pramana. So exactly the source I don't know, but I can, if we say it's from Madhva Sampradaya, we know that it's from some reliable source. So after the story comes, after the battle, Bhima and Arjuna were both saying that actually I was the most important in the fight. And if you look, it's difficult to say because who is the most prominent, because Bhima, he killed all the sons of Duryodhana, as he had promised. Sorry, all the sons of Dhritarashtra, including Duryodhana, Dushasana, these are the two most dangerous. Vikarna, he's mentioned also in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, who's actually, he was a good guy. Among all the sons of Dhritarashtra, he was a good one. He was the only one in the Asat Sabha who stood up and said, this is adharma, this should not be. So he killed them all, according to his vow. But Arjuna, he killed, he was instrumental in the killing of Bhishma, of Drona. He personally killed Jayadratha, Karna, and many, many. Arjuna killed so many others. I don't even remember them all. I mean, Jayadratha, I said, yeah. So they were saying, who is the most prominent? Who won the war? And Krishna had heard them. He said, actually, neither of you did anything. I did it all. Krishna did it all. Bhima is great because of Krishna. Arjuna is great because of Krishna. Who is great? Everyone likes to think, I will be great. In the modern education, they teach you, you should be a success. Be something great. Of course, not everyone can be great. Someone has to drive the auto rickshaws also. Someone has to plow the fields also. So not everyone's going to be a great person like Karuna Nidhi or Jai Lalita or something like that. Well, they think they're great. Many people think they are great. They are a little bit great, but not that great. I mean, if you go to, for instance, if you go to England and you speak to a non-Indian person and tell them, who do you think is better, Karuna Nidhi or Jai Lalita? And they say, what's that, some different kinds of curry dish? They don't know anything who all these people are. Probably the Bangladeshis, they also don't know. Because what does it matter? But in Tamil Nadu, they're great people. It's just like in the pond, there is a few frogs. And,
oh, very big frog.
What sound he make?
Ah, ah,
something like that. I'm not very good at imitating sound. Ah, ah, the frogs, they make big noise in the night. A snake comes and catches them. They make,
oh, I'm a very big frog.
And one frog is thinking, I have the ambition. I'm going to be the greatest frog ever. I'm going to jump more than any frog ever jumped. So he jumps. He's practicing jumping. Big jump and lands right in front of the snake. Oh! So it was a good try. They wrote a book about him. The ambitious frog. He was a great frog. He was such a great jumper. Very good looking frog. All the girls were... They all loved him. He had all this beautiful slimy skin and this big bulging eyes, and all the girls loved him, but bad luck. One day he got eaten by a snake. So they can write a biography of him. And of course there's the famous Dr. Frog living in the well, in the dark well, Andakupam, blind well of material existence. Dr. Frog is an expert on all subjects of frogology. He's a great frogologist. So he knows everything about geography. He can tell you about everything from this side of the well to the other side. Whether you approach this side, that side, he knows where every little stone is in the well. So expert geographer, then he knows about astronomy. You see, you go up, 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 up. 20 feet, 30 feet, you know, the limits, the great vast distance of the well. He can tell you all about it, and he's made some theories that you see there's some light at the top of the well, and he made some different scientific theories about what that might be. He can tell you about all the history, the great dynasty of all the frogs, and all these different things. And of course, there's no God. If there is a God, he must be looking like a frog. So he's a great scholar, Dr. Frog. He knows everything, a great expert in nutritional advice. He can tell you what kind of flies are good to eat. So great expert, Dr. Frog. And he's training up his students. He's a great professor in the Frogiversity, teaching them all the different sciences that a frog needs to know. How to jump. You see, you have to jump up, and then how you land, and you can jump forward, you can jump high, you can jump left, you can jump this way and that way. So a great, highly respected professor, and he's teaching his students how to be a great frog. So similarly we have it. Doesn't that sound stupid? Aren't we supposed to talk seriously in spiritual discourses? Why am I talking all this nonsense about great frog? How can a frog be great? What do you think? If you look at all the frogs, I guess you don't see many frogs in Singapore because it's all just buildings, right? Buildings and buildings. What about mosquitoes? Mosquitoes, don't get many mosquitoes. What do? They spray everywhere and kill them all. Otherwise, There should be plenty of mosquitoes. Yeah. What about in the mosquito society? The one mosquito is thinking, I will be the biggest, greatest mosquito in the history of mosquitoology. What do you think? If one mosquito is thinking, I'm such a great mosquito, what do you think? Didn't it sound stupid? I mean, how can you be great? You're just a mosquito. What's great? Same thing. We're thinking, oh, see, I'm very great. I'm the chief minister. Next thing I'll be prime minister. Next thing I'll be dead. Well, they don't think about that. I'm going to be the greatest. I am the greatest. Do you remember that? 1964, I think it was. Cassius Clay. Tokyo Olympic Games. First time the Olympic Games were held in Asia. Cassius Clay won the world boxing, you know, as a boxing gold medal. And he announced, I am the greatest. He was the greatest at punching people. So he announced, I am the greatest. And everyone likes to think, I am the greatest. But it's just like that, the greatest mosquito, the greatest human. So what? Even if you become a very great human, very big, strong body like Cassius Clay. Now he's almost, must be almost dead. Must be, let's see, must be definitely over 70 years old. So now any little 12-year-old can come and punch him. What will he do? Before he was the best at punching people. Now any little boy can come and punch him and he'll fall over. So I am the great. Who is the greatest? Einstein, big brain. Very big brain. But he couldn't, how much could he understand? And how did that knowledge help him? And anyway, so what? What if we're great? We're just tiny little beings. The mosquito wants to be great. So a little mosquito, you say, mosquito, what is that? So human, what is that? We're so much concerned, but we are so insignificant. This we should understand. We are meant for service to Krishna. Not to make ourselves great. To think I am great is simply foolishness. I will be a success. What is this success? Simply working, getting money, showing off some prestige, passing stool and dying. That's all. Maybe your name comes in the newspaper. So-and-so, so-and-so. This is actually, this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, Tava pratishta sukare bhishta. That if you want name, fame and glory, it's just like the stool of a pig. Imagine if you, who would like to get the stool of a pig and rub it all over their body? Who would do that? That's a crazy thing to do, isn't it? Especially if you say to a Muslim, they would think it's a horrible idea. Anyone would think, but especially Muslims, because they don't like pigs. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if we are interested in promoting ourselves, that other people will see me and think I'm very great, then you might as well find a pig, get the stool, the pig is looking for stool, you look for the pig stool, take it and rub it all over your body. Ugh, what a horrible thing to do. But that is a horrible thing to do. To praise ourselves or to think others should praise me, because we are all meant for praising Krishna. That's what we're all supposed to do. Instead of thinking, oh, this person, prime minister is very great, cinema star is very great, sports star is very great, music star is very great, this person, that person. Which person is very great? Krishna. Krishna is very great. This we should understand. We are meant for service to Krishna. So we like to enjoy this world. We like to renounce this world. It's all self-centered. We are meant for serving Krishna. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna will gradually bring Arjuna to. He's so bewildered, he can't get out of this idea. Come on, should I enjoy or should I renounce? Krishna, don't forget both of them. You're meant to serve me, that's all. That's the essence. So, Hare Krishna. Shall I say a few words in Hindi? Everyone understands English, is it? Hindi, Bangla. All right. Hindi mein do shabd bolta hoon. Wo do shabd kya hai? Hare Krishna. Bol diya tha. Banglai ami do ekta kotha bolbo. Hare Krishna. Aro ki bolbo. Sheti. আর কিচ্ছু নাই নাম বি না কিচ্ছু নাহি কাউ আর চৌদ্দ ভুবনম আছে ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর বল তবু ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর অনেক কিছু বলে অনেক বই লিখেছে কি জন্য যাতে আমরা ঠিক মতো বুঝতে পারি যে নাম বি না কিছু নাহি কাউ আর চৌদ্দ ভুবনম আছে আমরা সেটা বলি কিন্তু বুঝি না আমাদের বোঝানোর জন্য ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর অনেক অনেক বই লিখেছে অনেক কীর্তন লিখেছে কিন্তু সারমর্ম কি আছে নাম কৃষ্ণ নাম করো ভাই আর সব মিছে ফলে বারে পথ নাহি জম আছে পিছে হরে কৃষ্ণ সো এনি কোয়েশ্চেন কমেন্ট অ প্রোটেস্ট ইফ ইউ লাইক টু সে প্লিজ সে ইট নাও Yes, please. Hare Krishna. That's the answer. What's the question?
You talked about karma. So, is karma transferable?
Is karma transferable? Good karma. I wouldn't bother about it. Don't bother about it. Good karma or bad karma, do Krishna bhakti. Whether or not karma is transferable, what does it matter? It's all stool. Dry stool, wet stool, it's all useless. Forget karma, all this karma business. Just chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Realizing ourselves as insignificant part is the main part of realizing ourselves as a servant of the Lord. Yeah, we can't think of ourselves as a servant of Krishna if we think I'm very important. That's a fact. This question is being asked just here. Is there another microphone? Roaming mic? Do we have that? Cordless mic? Whatever. Yeah, go on. Cool. Realizing the glories of the Lord more and more is the path of bhakti. Those things are going to go together. Hopefully. Not always, because someday we may praise the Lord more and more, and then we may think, oh, I'm praising Him so nicely, and others are praising me for praising Him. So even in doing bhakti, Hare Krishna, you got one and lost another. We went from 1-0 up to 1-0 down. Hare Krishna. So, yes, glorification of Krishna must be there, but we have to be very careful, even on the path of bhakti, not to take the result for ourselves. Which that disease, that tendency is always there. Therefore, it's good to discuss also, apart from praising the Lord, it's also necessary to discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in all its aspects. Understand how I am insignificant. We are all insignificant in relation to Krishna. We can become significant by serving Krishna. Then we become significant. Krishna adds significance. Just like Arjuna and Bhima, they're significant. Why? Because they serve Krishna. Because they're great devotees of Krishna. That is their significance. Not, well, of course, because they're great fighters, but they did that in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, Karna was just as good a fighter as Arjuna. Generally, sometimes it's said, of course, Arjuna beat him in the fighting. But Srila Prabhupada says that Arjuna was just a fig in relation to Bhishma and Drona. So, Arjuna's significance is because bhaktosime sakha cheti, because he's a great devotee and friend of Krishna. That's the real significance. Otherwise, why are we praising Mother Yashoda? What good did she do? She wasn't a great politician. She wasn't a great women's liberationist or a great poet or any such thing. What did she do? What did Mother Yashoda do for the good of the world? There are so many great women in the world, like Jayalalita, Sonia Gandhi. They're important people and most powerful women in the world. Number one is this German chancelleress. The Germans are still trying to prove that they're not Nazis. So they voted a woman, Angela something or other. And number two, they voted powerful woman in the world is Hillary Clinton. And number three is the president of Brazil, and like that. So they're doing something. They're important people. Everywhere. The prime minister of Australia is a woman. So everywhere they're bringing. So what did Mother Yashoda do? She fed Krishna. She boiled milk. So what? But she's millions, trillions, zillions times more important than all these Hillary Clinton put, all these important women all put together. Why? Because she loves Krishna. Great devotee of Krishna. Great devotee. An incomparable position. I'm just trying to think. There's that one verse. Navarincho Nabhavo. What is that? Nayang Varincho Nabhavo. Nashriya Ap. Nashir Apyangsa Sanshoya. Prasadam Lebire Gopya. What is it? How do you know that? Prasadam Lebire Gopya. Yats. I just can't remember now. Stanam. Yat Stanam Papasi Hari. I can't remember exactly. But the purport is that. That Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, they did not get the same mercy as Mother Yashoda did. Why? Because she fed the breast milk, her own breast milk, to Krishna. And we say, well, every mother feeds the breast milk. But not every child is Krishna. So, this is our perspective. We don't care. You bring Prime Minister, we'll offer some respect. But we are interested in one cowherd woman who is feeding her son milk. We are more interested. Much more interested. What to speak, Mother Yashoda, great devotee, even neophyte devotee. We are interested to associate with some neophyte devotee who is sincerely serving Krishna more than all these big, big shots, big money, big prestige, big name. What do we care for all this? We don't care at all. We like to be with the devotees. Tadera charana sevi bhakta shanevas janame janame mor ei abhilash. Not that I will be with all the big presidents, billionaires. What do we care for all that? All useless things. You have $1 billion? Okay, but did you chant Hare Krishna once in your life? That we have to consider. Everything in this world is useless. One very, very big zero. Put it all together. United Nations, all meeting together, big heads of state. One big zero. The only thing is Krishna. Nambina kichu nahi kava chodda bhuvanamaji. Nothing in the whole world but Krishna, Krishna nam. Nothing. All useless. Whatever we may aspire for, it's all meaning. Vitayatam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Where is that verse? Then, whatever we conceive of is in this world without relation to Krishna, it's all simply maya. What is that? Yeah, anyway, the purport is it's all just maya, all meaningless, all useless. Okay, you had a question. Please.
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Sheta prashna uttar. Ekon prashna ki.
We devotees.
You're a devotee. I'm not a devotee.
The niskam or unattached to the material world. This unattachment from the material world, is difficult, but still we can surrender to the Krishna. And what is our position in the Krishna consciousness on that?
Well, what's the question? You started talking about non-attachment to this world.
To the material world.
Well, and then the second part, I don't see how it was related to the first part.
But still we have some attachment. But
we have attachment to how do we surrender to Krishna?
That's it.
Well, as much as we're attached to this world, that much we can't surrender to Krishna. Because surrender to Krishna and attachment to this world, they're distinct antipathetic moods. They're opposed to each other. That is Atendra Priti Bancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Ichha Dhare Premana. There's desire for sense gratification, that is called kama, or material desire. There is desire for serving Krishna, that is called prem, love of Krishna. So the two, you can't have both. If you think, I will enjoy this material world and also have the bliss of Krishna prem. Not possible. Not possible. That bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katama bhyudayo bhaved. There are two witches in the heart. Witches means pishachi. One is called bhukti spriha. I will enjoy this world. The other is called mukti spriha. I will renounce this world. As long as they are there, Bhakti Devi will not come. She doesn't like the bad association. So we can't, the bliss of bhakti will not be there if we're trying to enjoy this world. Not possible. So we have to decide. We want Krishna or we want Maya? If we think, I want Maya and Krishna, then you'll get Maya. Because to think like that is Maya. Therefore, Krishna says, sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. He doesn't say, mam little bit sharanam braja. He doesn't say, jato mat toto pad ebong shate shate amake chintan karo. He doesn't say that. You do whatever you like and you sometimes think of me. He doesn't say it. That's the ultimatum. So we practice sadhana bhakti for the sake of purification. We have material desires, we have material attachments. We are conditioned souls. So therefore we practice sadhana bhakti, understanding that this world is useless. But we have some attachment, but we have to try to overcome it. If we think that, well, we're doing sadhana bhakti, so it's okay to have material desires, that is wrong. It's not okay. We should know that it's there, but it's not okay. I have to strive to overcome that. If we think I will do bhakti, and also I will enjoy this world, then we're cheating, that's all. That should be clearly understood. That we have to give up attachment to this world. Otherwise there cannot be real bhakti. If we're advertising enjoy this world and also do bhakti, then that's not bhakti. That will become just like the sahajiyas. They want to enjoy and also do bhakti. So we can say, Srila Prabhupada often said, you live comfortably as a householder, but you don't. Comfortably means not gross sense gratification, but you can live comfortably and also chant Hare Krishna. But if we're in the spirit that I will cultivate material desires, then we can't enjoy. Actually, now you're an old man, you should go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. Really? Really? I mean, what are you doing here? You have material attachment, go to Vrindavan or Mayapur and pass your time there. You don't have to work now. What are you doing here? What is the point? If our aim is bhakti, and if you're not here for some extremely significant preaching purpose, then you should go to the holy dham and do bhajan. Don't remain here simply attached to grandchildren and that. Then you'll have to get born again. That's it. All time, you read Bhagavatam, Dhritarashtra. At the end of life, you have to get out of home. Otherwise, you get born again. So go to the holy dham. Do bhajan. Don't remain simply enjoying the comfort. That you can do. You're a householder, you be comfortable for some time, chant Hare Krishna. You get older, now death is coming, go. Don't stay enjoying the comfort of air conditioner and all this thing. If you want Krishna, you have to make some serious effort. At some point, we have to come, we have to say to Krishna, Kurishe vachanam tava, isn't it? Now I will do what you are. Savadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam. At some point, we have to do it. We can't go on forever, just later, 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 later. Life comes to an end. So, now you're in the Vriddha Kala, Vriddha Vasta. So, what else? Old age. Seems like that. I mean, I don't know your age, but you look older. So, that means there's not much time. So now you should, now is the time to intensely do service, bhajan. Of course, you can also go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and just waste your time there. You see some people, they go there and they spend their days chit-chatting. But it's meant for doing, you should go there and do intense service. then chant 64 rounds. You don't have anything to do, then chant 64 rounds. Then do full time engaged. Now you should do it. Otherwise, how are you going to overcome material attachments? Now the time for sadhana, the ordinary sadhana, that's almost finished. Life, human life is almost finished. So now, if you've had material attachments so many years, then now is the time to give them up. If not now, when? There is no chance otherwise. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.